Developer of a deaf Lutheran church in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm coming here. This is Bible study this morning. If you think you're in the wrong one, now's the time to leave. Praying for ourselves, the speck and the beam. It's from a Bible story, if you missed it. I know, what a strange idea. Where would I get the idea of taking things from the Bible, you know? For people who have not been here before, has everyone been here last time? Okay. The rules are basically that there are no rules. Feel comfortable to interrupt any time you have a thought, because I know that if you keep it in your thinking and you're thinking, you have this thing on your mind, at some point it's going to be on there and it's just going to fall off and it's going to disappear, and you'll swim looking for this thought and you'll never find it again. And maybe it was something that was good to share, you know, important to share with all of us. But for communication rules, we have some communication rules. Please raise your hand and wait to be recognized. Why? Because then it gives us time to so that many people are not talking at the same time. Always wait until the interpreter is finished signing or voicing before you start. Okay? All right. Are there any questions on anything? If you get bored during it, you can say, "I'm bored," speed it up, or you can leave. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. For those of you from yesterday who are still questioning, is she really ordained? I have written and asked for a copy of my ordination certificate to be sent here for you to look at. In fact, I have my little ID card with me. I found it last night for you who want to see it. My bishop did sign it. It has my name, so it's proof. It says this person is certified, really, ordained, even though...
Question mark after?
Question mark.
I have a question.
Wait, don't start. Okay.
I have a question. How did you get interested in working with the hearing impaired?
Well, really, I don't work with the hearing impaired. I work with the deaf.
Oh. How did you get interested in working with the deaf?
We don't even have hard of hearing people feel if they don't sign, because the lighting in our church is really lousy. And we have no hearing assisting systems or anything. So, can I ask that we hold that from people who want to talk about that? We can meet later. Because that's about grace. And that comes later in prayer. Today's focus is sin. Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, let me ask this. Would anyone like to volunteer to lead our prayer this morning to start?
I'll stand with your song if you can see. Dear God, our Father, we ask as we come here today to help us as we study your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts as we're studying. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that with us. For people who are thinking, you know, maybe at the end of this class, it's not too lousy, you know, maybe we'll come back and try it again. I prayed the first time to start the class, and now we take turns. Okay? So if you're not comfortable praying, get used to it. Okay. Yesterday, I forgot to bring the videotapes with me, and I said that I was not willing to walk crawl back to chalet number 10. So I brought them today. So there's two stories that I'd like to start with to watch, and then we can go on with discussion, okay? The first story, and we can just, they're short, so it's not. The first story is the story about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, how do you spell it? So, I told you, spelling is not one of my things. So we'll watch that one, and then we have another short one, and then we'll discussion. And I set these up this morning, so if they're not right, I left them right. You want to just, if you just turn around. If you can't see or you can't hear the videotape, let me know.
What? So there is sound to these?
To the first one. She's already been coached. They're cool. Wait till you see them. I'm always supposed to introduce the person who is signing is Patrick Graybill, deaf man. So he will be telling the story.
Then they went to a place named Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his followers, "Sit here while I go pray." Jesus took Peter, James, and John along with him. Jesus began to feel very sad and depressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is full of sorrow. I am going to die. Stay here and be watchful." Then Jesus went ahead a short distance and fell down on the ground. He was praying that, if possible, this time might pass away from him. And he continued to pray, "Father, dear Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. But what you want is more important than what I want." Then Jesus came and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Are you asleep, Simon? Were you not strong enough to watch 1 hour? Watch and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Again, Jesus went away. He prayed the same prayer. Once more, Jesus came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were very tired. They didn't know what to say to him. Jesus came back the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping, resting? That's enough. The time has come. Listen, I am being handed over to sinful men. Get up, we must go. Look, the one who turned against me is near.
videotape is also from Mark, but it's only one verse about that.
Concerns that are on your heart.
Oh, dude, this is beautiful ASL. It's so far beyond my...
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, do it.
Sorry about this, folks.
You should have been handed to it.
When you pray, you have all these thoughts on your hearts about things that are bothering you and things that you hate. You must first take these thoughts and offer them up. Forgive and forget, so that your heart and your soul will be filled with peace. Wrongs that you have done in the past, then God will forgive them and forget them also. Those were just a few examples of prayer from Mark. There'll be other examples later in the week from the videotapes. One of the things that I was very limited with when I was preparing the Bible study is that I only have the videotape of Mark. It's the only gospel that's been changed into ASL and finished. So when I was studying the New Testament, it was Mark and Revelations. Revelation. And you know, there's not a lot in Revelation about prayer, because there's not. So we'll have a few examples from Mark throughout the week. Also, I didn't want to carry all those videotapes with me. Just lazy. What did you notice? Did anything hit you when Jesus was going to pray? Did anything hit you about that feeling, wow, Jesus? No? Anything?
I wondered, I continued awake and stayed awake. The three fell asleep. And came back and you wake them up. They had to listen. Listen to Jesus praying to God. And again, the three, they fell asleep three times.
Anything about Jesus himself? You're right. To fall asleep again and again. What about Jesus himself?
Notice the sign. Jesus fell down. Fell down. His whole body. Prostrate. Down. Really, it showed him deep, wow, passion in his with his prayer.
And along with that kind of surrendering in prayer came this notion of, we had to do it alone. He came back. It was like, this is such a heavy prayer, and I'm doing it alone. I was struck with the difference in the picture of the three guys sleeping and himself in prayer.
He didn't pray for himself.
What do you mean?
He didn't pray that I want this done. I am surrendering and I will do whatever you want.
I would prefer if it didn't happen, but your will more important than my desires. So, God, your will happen. Okay?
It seemed like it was worse. Jesus seemed to try to bargain with God.
And if Jesus had to say, had to pray that what sounds like the same prayer three times, makes me wonder how effective he was.
One of the things that hits me from the verse, I don't know, maybe you said about how he threw himself, his body, just threw it on the ground, said that Jesus was depressed. You know, he was sad, he was depressed, that his spirit was just in grief. And you think about, many times you think about, oh, the Lord God Almighty, untouchable. You can't make contact. It never touches. Emotions, fear, depression, sadness. You know, God seems separate from that sometimes. But if you notice, when Jesus goes to pray, the first thing to introduce that prayer was to say to the followers, I'm really depressed. I'm sad. I need time to pray.
And having said that to the followers, he then discovers that he is absolutely alone. That even at his specific request, they are completely incapable of staying with him. And I think that's very instructive for us, because at some of our most burdensome and grief-stricken and depressing times, we too feel like we are utterly alone. And we have that example. And he comes back, and they're asleep. And he really is cut off. Mm-hmm. And he really is going to have to go through this utterly alone, just as all of us will have to, in a very powerful way, experience many of our deepest troubles alone.
Mm-hmm. Those three friends of Jesus were his best friends in the earth. The three seemed to understand. They didn't understand the importance at that time. Maybe it means that it's the best friends can't always be there to support us through our troubled times. We depend on God. Friends know they're supposed to, what's supposed to happen. They know how it's
that it will work out.
Work out together when you're depressed. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's true. The only person who knows the future is God. So friends, the Bible says, don't depend on people because they're going to fail you. Not because themselves are trying to hurt you, but because they're human and they're going to fail. They don't know what to do in all cases. It's going to happen.
Imagine comparison of Jesus.
And if we were sick with cancer or something and approaching death, they would be grief-stricken. And they would really need that kind of support from somebody. So that you might have that same image brought to mind if you consider that picture.
Mm-hmm. I had the feeling that they probably really thought, we've let people down, and they let Jesus down. He must have had a real guilt complex.
That the three men happened to be followers of Jesus Christ. They were the same as us. They didn't know what the importance language, giving support to Jesus when he went up to the mountain to pray. Same as today. Same. That's
question that we have to keep asking ourselves is, why should anything be different? Yes, they may have felt guilty. I'd like to think of Peter in that case. You know, he goes a step further, of course, and ends up, you know, denying three times that he even knows the man. What becomes instructive is not that he is filled with fear, not that he falls asleep, not that he denies Christ, but that confronted with that, he is able to metanoia, to change, to turn, to go in a different direction. Not one time, but many, many, many times over the years. And to keep turning, to keep coming to an understanding that he is wrong yet again, stands in need of forgiveness yet again, and is able to receive it. Not that he just stands in need of that, mm-hmm. but is able to hear that and able to be rejoined to the greater, to receive the reconciliation that is offered to him from Jesus or from the Spirit, depending on what stage of his life he's at. And so do we. You know, we are all going to experience those betrayals in our relationships. We're all going to be deserted by those that we love the most, those we are married to, those we give birth to, those who gave birth to us, our closest friends. And we are all going to feel times of guilt and terror and aloneness, and we're all going to stand in need of forgiveness, and we're going to have people who will stand in need of our forgiveness. Then what do we do? Then how do we receive that, or how do we give that? That becomes that's the over the edge, the over the hump difference for the Christian. And maybe that's what Mark is getting at here, getting past those things to say, and now what? Luther follows that up a long time later. You know, each day we put on our baptism all over again. Each day we are simultaneously saint, simultaneously sinner, 100% of both, and we go forward.
That really, the truth is that we're all sinners. And in our prayer life, especially, we are all sinners. Remember again the story from Luke about the two people who went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee and the other person who had the bad reputation. The publican? Yeah.
Publican?
I'm sorry. Yes, the person who went in and threw themselves. The Pharisee, the teacher of the law, went in and said, "Oh, thank you, God, I'm not like that person." "Oh, yeah, okay, well, thank you. It's good. You have a nice life. You know, you're teaching the law. You're doing good. You're not hurting people. You're not trying to hurt people. You know, you're a blind fool, but you're not trying to hurt people. And this other person is stealing from the poor and hurting the widows and probably taking candy from babies' mouths and things like that, you know." But the difference is that that person has thrown their body on the floor and saying, "Oh God, I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, please forgive me." Okay? And the teacher of the law, the Pharisee, is saying, "Well, thanks, I'm not like that." And then we go to the story of the speck and the beam. You remember that? You remember that? Jesus said, "How can you take a little speck of dirt from a person's eye? How can you get that out when you have a whole log in your own eye? How can you see well enough to take out that little thing from somebody else's life? How can you complain about their little problem when your own life is just a mess? How can you do that? How can you pray for other people when your own life is in turmoil? How can you complain about other people when your own life is in turmoil?" It involves a self-examination. One of the reasons for prayer that we listed was confession. Storytelling was another reason. To understand our own life story, to examine ourselves, to look into our hearts, to go into our souls. You know, every person in this room has a secret. And people say, "Oh, they had the most." everyone has something about your life that has happened in your life, maybe even just a thought in your brain that you have, that you maybe feel a little embarrassed about, maybe feel a little bit, oh, that's bad, get it out of my brain, just from my brain. But it stays there, and you have it in you. And you think, well, maybe I can hide it. God will not find it. Well, you know, if I say that to God, maybe that would really be bad. Even in our prayer life, when we're alone, locked in the room, with the windows, the shades down, even then, we often tend to keep secrets, to hide the thoughts, the troubles, the burdens on our souls, because we think, even that is too bad to say right now. Does anyone have you had that experience? Am I really off? Have you had that experience where you've gone? Let me ask you this. As a pastor myself, I will ask you this. Have you ever wanted to talk with your pastor and you're sitting? If maybe you're a pastor yourself, well, then you should have a pastor yourself anyway. If you are a pastor, you should have a pastor. Pastors are people too. They need help. Look at me. You need help. You should have a pastor. Have you gone and talked with pastor or maybe a pastoral friend? And gone to that person and talked, and you had this thought in your head, and it's trying to get out and pushing it in because it's too embarrassing to say. You can't even confess it. You can go and kneel in confession, and you can't say it because it's too bad. It's too embarrassing. Let me ask you. How do you plan to get forgiveness for that? Well, how can you ask for forgiveness for something? How can you open up your heart in prayer? How can you expose, you know, like a flasher on the street? How can you expose your soul, open up your soul for God to just willingly, God can look into them anytime he wants. God can look in your souls, no problem. God can see there. But for you to open it up and say, God, here I am. It's me. How can you do that? In prayer. If prayer is that most personal communication with God, and you're still like, well, this little part, we'll open up this part here. Okay, and we'll open this part here, and we'll close that because it was not really good, so we'll close it quick. And then, well, this is set. We'll open this part here, and then, how can you do that? How can you do that?
Question is even more troubling because you can divide that into two spheres: guilt over things that we have done or felt, and shame over aspects of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both tough.
Shame and guilt? That's our prisons today. Shame and guilt. They're prisons because they lock us. They prevent us from that communication, that open honesty with God. And it's not always that bad, really, when you think about it. Sometimes we're even afraid to say things like, I'm really depressed right now, I need private time. Or I'm depressed, I need time with someone. Jesus went to his best friends in the world and said, I'm really depressed, I need you to stay with me. And they didn't listen. They didn't listen.
I would like you to voice for me.
Voice? Okay. Yeah. I will try. The same. It's like when we are wrong. We're just wrong and wrong and wrong. Or we forget. And we do all kinds. And God knows about these things and wants and wants us, and we forget what we're doing there. And so we forget it. No, no, we're not going to do it at all. It seems that God watches, and you should do that. You really should do that. That's kind of the influence of guilt. It causes guilt, and we build up kind of a wall around us, and we limit ourselves, and we're inside, and God can see in, into our friends, and they can all look. Our friends around, and they're looking at us, puzzled, what's wrong with her? Or maybe they're oblivious to it, and there's nothing wrong. And we kind of feel like we're all boxed in right here. We're in this little prison, which is inside. That's the beam.
Beam or a log house. Or a box that we're sitting in. For our prayer life to become part of our life, it needs to include all of our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly, or ugly, not bugs, ugly, sorry, ugly, sorry, bugs, ugly, sorry. In Romans, the book, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, I think, right, wrong, what do I know? Isn't that where it says, even while we were still sinners, God, Christ, died for us. While we were sinners. Wow! That means that God is not waiting for us to improve. God is saying, okay, I know it's lousy. Your life, you've had problems. You know, I gave you a nice life, opportunities, but you've screwed it up. I expected that. It's okay. No problem. All I'm waiting for is for you to admit it. And then comes the grace.
Thank you.
And in that moment of grace, we have communication, we have relationship, we have prayer. In that moment of confession, of openness, of honesty, we have God through our life, controlling and guiding, and the strangest thing of all, accepting. What I would ask, I keep looking here. What I would ask is that everyone take a minute, well, take a few minutes right now, and just to sit and be still. And all of those thoughts that you have or things that have happened in your life, all of those things, I want you to open up those doors. I know it's going to be hard because you think there's going to be some. I'll confess here. My fear is always that there's going to be someone sitting in the room who can read minds. I'm serious. This is a fear. I'm serious. I'm always scared near to death that there's going to be someone sitting in the room who can read minds. And I'm going to be sitting there thinking all these bad things, or things bad, good, things that embarrass me, things that scare me, I'm going to be sitting here, I'm going to be thinking them, and somebody's going to be sitting next to me and look over and go, wow! Are you bad? You know, I never knew you were, and you're a pastor? So, is there anyone here who can do that? I would ask that you please
be.
Either leave or just, you know, you turn off your voice. Well, turn off your brain for a minute, you know? Focus on yourself. So many times it's easier to look at the other person. It's easier to look at the the other person and say, oh, well, wrong, wrong. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the direction. Wrong, 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 wrong. Oh, those colors. Oh, you know, wrong, wrong, wrong. I don't wear colors because I don't know what they look like, you know? Why am I picking on her? I wear blue jeans. I wear blue jeans. White. That's it. When I work, I wear black. Who am I to pick on that? Other people, okay, well, let's bring this up before we start. You can start, you know, open up. This is a way to get you flexible, to comfortable, to open up your inner locked doors. Other people show us ourselves. Have you noticed that? When we go to another person, we see something that we don't like about their behavior. Most often, it's because we have that same behavior and we don't want to admit it. There's people in my life and, oh, they bother me. I hate it. Often, I hate them because it just, oh, it just grates in my whole body. It just, I can feel it. Then I think about it and say, I'm the same way. That's why it bothers me so much. And then I need to examine it myself and say, okay, all right, I see it, my fault, I accept responsibility for that, I accept responsibility for changing that, ask for God to guide and help me, and then it's easier to accept the other people because, they, well, maybe they haven't accepted it yet. That was very cute sneeze. I have never heard a scene, a sneeze like that. Can you teach me that later?
Of course.
She's so easy to embarrass. When she's working, you can't get a laugh from her, but if she's just sitting in a place, it's so easy to tease her. Grace is also one of the interpreters for the week, so. Okay, so now you have my full promise. Everyone here, please raise your hand. They do this in courts, I understand. Please raise your hand.
Why?
Because you promise, everyone raise your hand, promise that you do promise before God that you will not read other people's minds. If anyone disagrees with that, you need to leave. Okay, put your hands down. Okay. Now, I offer this to you. Try not to punish yourself for thinking about things. You know, God gave you the brain and the mind to begin with. I think God expected that you were to use it. But also focus on yourselves. Go inside here, not inside there, inside there, inside there. Go inside here and just sit and think all those things that you're embarrassed, that you feel guilty about, things that you feel lousy, things that you didn't want to tell people. Just take some time and think about them. Bring them up from the bottom of your soul. Bring them up to your brain and to your heart.
Okay. For the people who are not asleep. I know that maybe you've not finished yet, and just to bring up some of the things makes you feel, maybe say, oh, I'm fine, I think that's fine. But I don't know, if you're like me, maybe you feel a little bit colder, your skin, your temperature of your skin maybe will change a little bit. Your heart maybe will beat up a little faster. I don't know, maybe all of you are just confessable already, finished. All of these things that you have brought up from the bottoms of your souls, now is not the time to put them back. Now is the time to put them out. Everything that you have thought right now, everything that you have taken up from here and put to here, everything that troubles you, everything that you feel embarrassed about, everything that it just doesn't sit right with you, all of that is already forgiven. But you need to admit it. You need to say, okay, this is it. I'm asking that you accept me, that we can have a relationship, that we can pray, that we can confess, that we can receive grace. And God says, finished, okay.
In our service, we have a blanket confession.
Mm-hmm.
How does this pertain to that, or vice versa?
During the confession that you have in your worship service, you're Lutheran?
Okay.
You have a time of silence. It's never long enough for me. No, it's bad. I know this was very short today. But you have your whole stay here at Holden Village. You have time to be silent and to express to God. That's a time for each person to silently, in that time, for personal things to offer up. Then as a congregation, we confess our sinful human lives. So it matches with that. This is an observance, maybe not right. Many times I see people who learn the words and they learn the meaning of the confession in the beginning of the worship service. And they say it again and again and again. But often on Sunday morning, it becomes a part of the worship service in that it's not a personal time to stay and stand with other people, other Christians, and together really honestly examine and confess. It's a time to stand and say the words that we read in the book. When I was growing up, I owe a lot to the Missouri Synod, LCMS, in my opinion. Not to, negative to other denominations. When I was growing up and I was going through the confirmation classes, we were taught that when you go to confession for forgiveness, before you go to church, it was communion every Sunday, before you go to church, you must examine yourselves. You must. I don't like the rest of what the pastor taught me, but that emphasis that you must take the time to examine yourself before you go. You need to know what you're confessing. You need to be able to admit it, to say, yes, this is my sin. This is my doubt. Help my disbelief. So I think that the confession in the book, the worship service, is important, but I'm not sure that we regularly give enough time for that or enough emphasis on that. I would like to have like a half hour before the worship service for people to come in and sit and confess and pray before the worship service. It's not possible for us, but I think it's important. And often I see people going into church early and sitting there and praying. And it really, my spirit is, whew, wow. So, does that match at all?
Yeah. Sure. It's sure. I started having the third minute.
Okay.
But I've forgotten that because I've been in the ELCA for a long time.
The ELCA is a good denomination. I'm not going to criticize it. It has a lot of good theology behind it. But I think that often we get so involved in the changes that's happening now with the merger of the different churches that are coming together that we forget to go back a little bit and just take time to sit and to pray and just let, you know, the time go on. So it's important for us as individuals, as Christians, as members, to say, hey, we need time. I need the door of the church to be open before the service starts, before the donuts are there, before the coffee is set up. I need the door of the church to be open so I can go in and sit down and pray and confess and prepare for the service.
Well, you couldn't do that at our church because we have fellowship before.
But
you do. You just get there early so you could visit.
Okay. Well, then you yourself. No, not your fault. You can go in if you want. But for you to tell other people and invite other people to go in with you, that's another step. And then from that to invite a group of people to set up a group where you can openly confess to each other and receive forgiveness from each other. And then for that, to have that openness and honesty among yourselves. If you can do that with other people, think of how you can do that with God. You know?
Kim, in C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape Letters, it's a story about how the devil is training a tempter to work. And it struck me here in chapter 3 how we have an adversary in this process in the devil. And I just thought I'd read a couple sentences here. He says that this tempter is teaching his understudy, he says, about a young man who's just become a Christian. Says you can't stop him from praying, but if you must pray, keep his mind on the inner life. He thinks his conversion is something inside him, and his attention is therefore chiefly turned at present to the states of his own mind, or rather to that very expurgated version of them, which is all you should allow him to see. Encourage this. Keep his mind off the most elementary duties by directing it to the most advanced and spiritual ones. Aggravate the most useful human characteristic, the horror and neglect of the obvious. You must bring him to the condition in which he can practice self-examination for an hour without discovering any of those facts about himself, which are perfectly clear to anyone who has ever lived in the same house with him or worked in the same office. I thought that was true of our experience. We are deluded, perhaps, by the devil not to practice self-examination, but to look at others and say, gee, they're terrible.
It's always easier to look and see another person than it is to look and see into a mirror. Oh, come on. Okay. what I would like to offer to you is this. I brought my hat. See? If you didn't recognize me first, maybe you will recognize me now as you see me walking around the whole village. I'm sorry, I keep standing in the room. Continue to think about these things inside yourselves. Take the time to focus on yourself now. Not to say, oh, God, look, I'm wonderful, thank you. But to look inside and say, God, yes, this is something that embarrasses me. Yes, this is something that I feel bad about. Yes, this is something that I don't want to share with you. Now I'm not ready to share with you yet. Often we trick ourselves that way. We say, well, God, later, I'm not ready yet to share it with you. You know, I'll share it with another person first, and then maybe that will help me later to be ready to share it with you. Take the time now to think as you go out today. Take the time to examine. If you feel you would like to have another person to talk with, to confess with, to forgive with, look for the hat. I'll be bobbing around. Find another person from this room. Okay. Now I caution the other people in this room. This is not a time, husbands, wives especially, couples especially, I warn you, this is not a time for the person you are with to say, I really feel lousy, I want to confess for this and this and this and this. And the other person says, I told you that for years now, finally listening to me. This is not the time for that. This is the time to act like a Christian and say, God has given us forgiveness and you also. How do you feel? What can I do? Thank you for sharing it with me. Pray together, not on, together. Okay? Pray together, not on, not. Sometimes I've gone to places and seen a person go up and confess, and they kneel. This happened to me in a church in South Florida. It was their tradition, yes. People would go up and confess, and then the person who is standing there accepting the confession would stand and pray and say, in front of everyone, the whole congregation was watching, this person has confessed, oh God, a horrible sin. And then explain the sin. God, this person, their soul has been destroyed by the seeds of the devil in their life. Now we pray that you send your spirit in to heal their soul and to protect us from the evil that has left this person. Whoa! Pray with, not on. Remember, we're all sinners, okay? If you need time to sit in the room before you go to think, to finish, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like, talk with me later, watch for the hat. If you'd like to come back tomorrow, you're welcome to. And tomorrow we'll talk about praying for other people. Wednesday, yes. Thursday, there's no class. Wednesday, this class, and then there's Stinky Heekin. So, take your time to leave, to rest. Did anyone have any comments first?
Are you saying that we will have class tomorrow?
Tomorrow, there's classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, nothing. Friday, Saturday, yes. Saturday, I go. So take your time.